Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Man, I hope I didn't say the wrong thing just now. Clinical and forensic psychologist, co-host of Face the Truth on CBS, author of Stop Self-Sabotage. I didn't insult you, did I?
No, okay. Of course not. Hi, Tommy.
How you? All right?
I am doing great. Thank you.
Well, let's address the Halloween haunted house thing. Why do people... In some instances, and I don't know if you all have these in California or not, I presume they do, where the people dress up in different kind of makeup and jump out of corners and scare you and all that stuff. They have that in California?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. We have several different amusement parks making money off of that.
So why do people like that? Here, you know, they like take a, we have, matter of fact, they call it the mortuary, I think, which actually used to be a funeral home. And then every year they set it up where I guess you go through, and I've never been, but you go through the different hallways and people jump, and scare you and all that stuff. Why would people like that?
Well, we all like a good adrenaline rush. And it's interesting because we almost seek that sort of fight or flight feeling, especially when we know that we're not actually going to be unsafe. And so we are all adrenaline junkies to some degree, because that adrenaline rush does make us feel alive. It makes us feel excited. And by the way, there is research that shows that if you go with a potential romantic partner or somebody that you're dating, it actually bonds you closer and makes you like them better. And so it's actually
no,
good
no, hang
place
on,
to
hang
take
on
your
nobody,
date.
Nobody told me about all that. Let me take some notes. Go ahead.
So when you have that kind of an adrenaline rush, you start to have all of these very intense emotions. And whoever's next to you at the time, you start to transfer that intense emotion onto them. So actually, sometimes people get really, really close very fast by using that as a dating tool.
Very interesting stuff there. So if you're going on a first date and it's around Halloween, as long as you don't have to physically drag anybody into it, of course, then maybe a haunted house might not be a bad deal.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. Although I guess after a while, you know, how many more adrenaline things are you going to do if there's nothing really there? Then eventually you do something that's not so adrenaline rushy and you end up realizing maybe you don't like that person all that much after all. But hopefully not. Hopefully there was substance that was growing at the same time.
I think that presumes that you want to see him again.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Maybe you don't. Maybe it's a...
That's true. Maybe if you're one and... Yeah, if you want to just do one and done, then that's perfect.
Maybe it's... Well, yeah, I was going to say maybe it's, you know, a limited relationship.
That's right.
Barely half of American adults are married. What did doctor just say? One and done? Is that what the doctor just said?
I just say one and done.
Is that a that's a medical term, is it?
Yeah, it's in our DSM now.
That's what I thought. Yeah, one and done. All right, so look, barely half of American adults are married. Why is the number dropping? And if you are married, I will ask the audience, are you married, Dr. Ho?
I am married.
Did you meet in a...
I'm a traditionalist.
Wait, what?
I said, I guess I'm a traditionalist. Yeah, I am married. And I actually met in a very traditional way. We met through college friends. So I didn't meet him online, amazingly. But that's a lot of people's success stories these days.
Yeah, well, the fact that you're alive means you didn't meet him online. So we're going to take a break here and get serious. If you're married, I'll ask the audience, when did you get hitched? If you're divorced, would you want to get married again? Barely half of American adults are married. I'm divorced. I would never, ever get married again, only because of the legal aspects of it. Because when you get served with those divorce papers, you realize that you are, A, in the court system, B, being sued, and C, that you're in essence breaking up a business that you don't necessarily realize you're adding a partner to when you say I do. Dr. Judy Ho is our guest. We're going to serious up here. Clinical and forensic psychologist, co-host of Face the Truth on CBS, author of Stop Self-Sabotage, and talk about the declining rate of people getting married. 9:16, Tommy Tucker back in a flash on WWL. Dr. Judy Ho, our guest, clinical and forensic psychologist, co-host of Face the Truth on CBS, author of Stop Self-Sabotage, our friend. A text comes in here, and Dr. Ho was talking about adrenaline and haunted houses and how that could lead people to bond, I guess. A text comes in here. My first date with my husband was to a haunted house at City Park. It was October 23rd. We ended up getting married and had a baby on October 23rd. And as I laid there on the delivery room table, he said, "Do you think you would have married me if I'd said that you're going to have my baby in 10 years?" So apparently, Dr. Ho, there is something to that. In general, and I was talking about I would never get married again, because when you get those divorce papers, and I'm not saying that marriage is a bad thing at all, but you do realize that you are in the legal system and that you are, you don't have control of your own destiny anymore, and that you are breaking up, dissolving a business or a partnership, if you will, and you don't think about all of that as you stand at the altar, do you?
Yeah, well, you know, I guess some people do, because there is a rise in prenuptial agreements, but this is a real phenomenon. So the number of U.S. marriage ceremonies actually peaked in the early 1980s. That's when about 2.5 million marriages were recorded every single year. And since then, the total number really has been falling steadily. And so now, barely more than half of the adults in the U.S. say that they're even living with a spouse. And it's actually the lowest rate that's ever been on record, because in 1967, it was 70%. And so this is a huge trend, but it's not even an emerging trend. It's been going on for quite a long time, maybe over the last 10 to 20 years.
Why is it that people are not doing that? Is it financial? Is it because they're living with their parents and they can't have their significant other or get married and live with your parents? Does that have anything to do with it?
Well, there's a few different theories, and some of them are backed by some research. And so some people are talking about the fact that there's been a fall in religious adherence in the country. And so a lot of times people will want to get married for religious reasons. And so if that's not as much of a main driver overall, then that can decrease the rates of marriage. But also people are talking about things like increase in education and income of especially women, because now women have more options. They're working. They're saying, well, marriage can come later, and sometimes it doesn't come at all. So that's also a possibility. And even other people are saying student debt. You know, there is a huge problem with student debt in this country, and they don't have the money to get married. It's too much. There's just other things on the horizon that they have to deal with, and so they put off marriage even longer. And so we definitely see that there's a delay also, whether or not people actually get married, there is such a delay. And there is more of a rate in cohabitating now. So people are cohabitating more, but not saying that they want to get married. So they'll live with their partners for many years, but they just don't end up actually going to the altar.
So somebody texted in here, and I was going to ask you that question. As a forensic psychologist, what reasons would you give to people to get married? What benefits, what advantages are there? Again, as a clinical and forensic psychologist, not religious, I guess, not moral, but just in terms of getting together?
Well, here's what we know from the science. The benefits of marriage actually are pretty numerous and well-known. So researchers have linked marriage to better outcomes, such as less crime in the neighborhood, and for you personally, an increase in longevity and happier lives. We do see that people who are married tend to have fewer negative health outcomes, or that those negative health outcomes are delayed in general, and that's especially true for men. So men in heterosexual marriages, they tend to reap the benefits even more so than women. However, I think the cost is that people are starting to look at sort of the negative sides of marriage more so. And before, I think the benefits really outweighed the cost for many people. And now, because there are other options, people sometimes look at marriage and they say, well, the costs are, I don't have as much freedom. I have to, you know, answer to somebody else. I have to compromise, and I want my independence. And sometimes people will do the cost benefit analysis in their head, and they'll feel like marriage is actually less beneficial than maybe they thought before. And so I think every individual is kind of doing that cost benefit analysis and figuring out what makes the most sense for them.
Are children of married couples any better off or any happier than children of couples that are not married?
Yeah. So the research does show that marriage does lead to better outcomes for children in general. But when we look at people who are having conflictual marriages, then I think that the research is more murky. The research then shows that perhaps it's actually better to be separated and doing a good job at co-parenting than staying in a conflictual relationship and exposing your child to all of those negative factors. And so in general, though, if you're like a normal couple who fights sometimes and has regular problems and isn't, you know, there's nothing kind of like physical abuse going on or horrible emotional abuse, then yes, marriage does lead to better outcomes for children. I think partially it's because of the fact that there's two parents to address the child's needs. And so if one parent's not available, then the other one is there. And so the child is always being cared for in some way. And I think that that's a big reason for why that is helpful for children. But again, if the marriage is really conflictual, then that's not helpful because children can often be traumatized by that. And I will often have patients tell me, I wish my parents got divorced because it was too hard to see them fighting all the time. And it made me feel very unsafe at home.
I read about this between the time you were on last and now, and I wanted to ask you to discuss it if you could. Limerence, because I think a lot of people perhaps go through it, but they don't really know what that is.
Limerence. You mean just sort of being really obsessed with somebody else?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know if that's
having that kind of fantasy. Yeah. Yeah. So is your question whether or not people go through that?
Well, do they, and how do they differentiate that between love and that's this, I don't know if the correct term is limerence, but I've read it referred to as that. I've read it, that it was, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, limerence is interesting because there actually has been some research around this. And for some people, this state of limerence can last a few weeks to even several decades. But the average is really about 18 months to 3 years. And so this idea of maybe a love addiction of some sort, the duration of how long that lasts really depends on whether or not the individual's affections are requited in some way. So if it's returned in some way, it feels that addiction and it continues. But just like a lot of the other research that we have, when somebody is on an intermittent reinforcement where they kind of get a little bit of attention from their object of desire and then the person kind of backs away, sadly, it actually makes them more obsessed, right? It kind of continues that feeling longer and longer. And so there is some research, though, that shows that this idea of limerence, that it can be helpful to individuals who may not even be in a full relationship but are just sort of thinking and pining about somebody, because that oftentimes, that desire fuels motivation for people and creates happy feelings. And that actually does have some beneficial factors to it, even if that person never, ever ends up with that person. And so sometimes there's a good side of this limerence, so to speak.
Does this ever end in... Or is there this kind of thing, limerence, that could happen without taking a turn towards stalking or what have you, or somebody injecting themselves into a situation that the other person really doesn't want?
Yeah, well, I think that's sort of the fine line here. So some research has shown that this idea of limerence, this love addiction, that sometimes it produces similar chemicals in the brain as drug addictions do. And so if that's the case, people will sometimes do anything to pursue their drug addiction if they're really, really ill with that particular disorder. And so you can see that there's an extension of this, that somebody who has love addiction in a really bad way to seek that high, they're going to keep going and they're going to keep escalating and they're going to keep outdoing themselves. And eventually it might get into the stalking territory. And if you find that your sort of obsession or pining is uncontrollable, you can't do anything else during the day, you find yourself obsessing for hours and hours and everything else is falling to the wayside, then I think that's when you're starting to verge into dangerous territory. And maybe you do need to seek professional help at the time to try to undo some of that and try to reorient some of your attention to other things.
And I asked you about that because I knew people that went through something like this. And then when I read it, it's like, well, that describes A, B, and C. And that's why I wanted to go into it with you. One thing I did want to ask you, if somebody is in this state and when they finally catch what they or get what they want, or if they were to get what they want, is it like a dog chasing a car where they wouldn't know what to do with it? Or is it about the thrill of the chase, I guess what I'm saying? And if they got the person, would they really want to pursue? I hate to use that phrase because that sounds terrible. But if the other person decided that they wanted to be in a consensual person with the other person that was obsessed, would love occur, or would it be kind of like, well, I've been chasing you, I don't really know why? I'm asking you very, you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I would say this, you know, just in general, in healthy relationships, neither partner is really limerent. You know, they're in love, but they don't really struggle with this constant unwanted thoughts about their partner. You know, rather than pursuing this reciprocity and whether or not they're ever going to get it, the couple really bonds through mutual interest and enjoying each other's company. And that's how they get stronger and stronger. So when somebody starts off with limerence and they actually end up getting into a more consensual relationship, the other person says, yeah, let's give this a shot. Oftentimes that individual who was limerent in the first place will start to experience a huge decrease in their affection and their drive, because all of a sudden you've gotten there. It's sort of like the goal's been checked off. And so if there's nothing to back it up, then that won't work. But I also have known people who started off with limerence and then ended up in a more balanced relationship over time. And I think that really involves not putting that person on a pedestal forever. That once you're in a relationship, is there a way to sort of right the balance? Is there a way to actually be equal partners with one another and see each other as human beings with both amazing things about them and the flaws? And sometimes individuals with limerence, like, they have built up this whole fantasy life that once they get together with this person, it's not like the fantasy life. If this is a real person with real issues and real struggles, and they don't know how to handle that, and sometimes they don't last very long.
I guarantee you there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people listening right now that are in that very situation and didn't exactly know what it was, or thought they might be the only ones going through it, and you just, Doctor, kind of explain to them why they're feeling what they're feeling. I can't thank you enough. Stop Self-Sabotage. Where do you get the book?
Well, you can get it wherever books are sold. A lot of people like to buy it on Amazon. It is on Amazon, and I would love to see what people think if they decide to purchase it. So thank you so much for the plug for the book. It's been a really great time just talking about it and doing some work around it with various people. It's been really lovely.
Well, we enjoy having you every time. Dr. Judy Ho, clinical and forensic psychologist, co-host of Face the Truth on CBS, and author of Stop Self-Sabotage. There could be some flooded cars heading to Louisiana from other places. We'll give you the warnings about it and what to look for when we come back here on WWL.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.